gonna have to edit that, fucker.
I said flu name.
All right, stop. I gotta start the podcast. It's already started. Here we go. 5, 4, 3. Considered one of the most groundbreaking and important, if not the most important album of the 90s, Radiohead's OK Computer was a revelation to the grunge generation. On this week's Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, we will get to the bottom of what makes this record so monumental and uncover some little-known facts about it as well. Here we go.
You're listening to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, changing rock history one podcast at a time.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. My name is Lou Lombardi, a.k.a. Ludini, and today we are going to be discussing, it's our monthly album retrospective. We do this once a month, usually it's the second Tuesday of the month. We pick an album, and we've done some great ones this year. We had a lot of fun this year so far. The rest of 2020 has sucked. But these shows have been awesome. Everything from Pyromania to Bat Out of Hell. We've done all kind, Iron Maiden, all kind of cool stuff. Today we are going, we're going a little alt on you guys. We're going to get a little alternative, and we are going to be getting into OK Computer by Radiohead. Absolutely revolutionary album. Really excited to talk to you. I know that both Keith and Lily are really big fans and know way more about it than I do. So it's going to be an awesome show. I'm going to give you guys some historical backdrop for it as well as we go along, because it's really fun to kind of look at these albums in the context of everything else that was going on socio-politically, entertainment-wise, movies, all the stuff that was going on in the world. And there are some interesting coincidences historically with this album. So it's going to be fun to talk about. We're going to get into that in a minute. Shout out to Wolf's Customs, Chris Thunder Wolf Dotson. Go to wolfscustoms.online. Get a custom finish on your musical instrument. So when you get up on stage, or okay, so you're not getting up on stage, you're doing your Zoom concert, right? You can look badass as people are scrolling on Facebook, or they're scrolling on YouTube or whatever, and they see this awesome looking instrument with this crazy finish that nobody's got. They are going to stop and check you out. Chris Thunder Wolf Dotson can make it happen for you. Go to wolfscustoms.online. And I really got to give a shout out to Rock Rage Radio. John and Gigi have been absolutely wonderful about taking care of making sure that we are out there for you guys, that the whole world is hearing it. John's got a lot of balls, for a media guy in this day and age. And so we really respect him. We're really glad to be a part of the Rock Rage family. Now, speaking of family, I've got my power trio with me today. As always, they're not my power trio. I'm their. I'm just like the conga player.
Just
in the band.
Go ahead and you don't, be the power trio.
You don't own me.
Exactly. Speaking of owning you, this is Keith the Hawk Hawkins, all the way from New Orleans. What's up, Keith? You all right today, brother?
If I was any better, I couldn't stand at home.
Oh, there we go. Okay, and we've got Lily V6. You guys know Lily already because she has her own show on Rock Ridge Radio. How you doing, Lily?
I'm doing great. I got to go to a show over the weekend, so I'm super excited.
What'd you guys say?
Went to see Gigaroo 2020. A lot of cool local bands, The Common Crown, Divine Tragedy, Soap 9, Blood Union, a whole bunch of bands for 2 days. It was great.
Where was this?
This was out at Iceland Park.
Okay.
Not sure exactly where that's at because I didn't drive, but it's far away and it was camping. I didn't camp. We drove both days, but yeah, good stuff. Out on beautiful stage outdoors, and Metal Chick Jewelry was there, so she's awesome.
Oh, awesome. 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 Okay, cool. We are going to come back. We're going to get right into it, but I thought that we played these guys a few weeks ago, and these guys are long. This is a band that has been longtime friends of the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. We supported them on their previous two albums, and they just released an EP. We sort of snuck it out to you guys about a month ago. It is officially out. You can get it on Spotify. This is a band we love. Gone all the way back to the days when Pittsburgh Kevin was on the podcast with me. This is We Came From Space, Pittsburgh's own We Came From Space. Amazing songwriting, amazing musicianship, and I think these guys are perfect for a podcast about Radiohead. So check them out. We're going to be right back with some Radiohead on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.
Thank you.
We came from space, guys. A track called Facade. They've got a new EP out. And yes, it is like, we snuck that out to you guys about a month ago. It is now completely, totally available on Spotify. Check it out. We have some great bands tonight. We've got Bad Actress and Sold, and hopefully we can get to Below 7 as well. We're going to try to sneak in as much music as we can. But check them out. We Came From Space. Great band. Pittsburgh guys. I was telling Lily, he's like the Pittsburgh Peter Gabriel or something.
Yes,
you know?
Definitely.
Very, very melodic. Great stuff. Great band to have on the show about Radiohead. So let's get into it. Let's talk about who wants to jump in, who wants to get into the whole thing first. Keith, don't be bashful. Don't be shy.
What? Can we talk some history? What?
We want to do a little background history. What do we want to do?
Well, that's really something that I think Lily takes care of more than me. I mean, I can look at stuff up too, but she always is. She's right on it. Let her break that.
And then we're going to get Keith in on it because I know both you guys are big fans of this record. I will give my thoughts here in a minute. Go ahead.
Okay, so it is the third studio album by Radiohead, released May 21st, 1979. Self-produced by the members with Nigel Godrich. He also worked with them on several other projects and Tom's solo work. Mostly recorded at the St. Catherine's Court, which is a mansion in Oxfordshire.
Oxfordshire.
This is the album where the band became more experimental with abstract lyrics and eclectic influences. And that actually expanded their international popularity, not just, you know, where they were from. They didn't want to do something like the Bends Again, because they thought that would be boring to do another sort of total rock album. York said he was influenced by Miles Davis, the Miles Davis album Bitches Brew, as the starting point for this album, as well as Elvis Costello, REM, and the Beatles. The name of the album came from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which I did not realize that, the radio series where Zaphod Beeblebrox speaks the phrase, "Okay, computer, I want full manual control now." I did watch both of those, the new one and the old one, so I had never even caught that. Not once.
That's on my wish list on Audible. I need to listen to Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Great. So that's it. So I guess that's a sort of quick summary of the record. And Keith, I know that this Lily and Keith were both very hot to talk about this record. So Keith, what are your how do you want to start? Where do you want to get into? Do you guys want to rank tracks?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll let you guys do that. You tell me.
And I have a little tidbit on each one.
Okay, cool. Well. I like tidbits.
Yeah, I totally want to rank the tracks. I mean, it was a difficult, something difficult that I really had a hard time, meaning the word difficult, doing this whole thing. So ranking the track was a bitch. It was hard to rank the track because it's such a great album, and I do think that the album is a masterpiece. There's songs on it that are great. I mean, there's not really a bad track on it. I mean, but I think this band has, to me, this band is the most important rock band of the last 25 years. People get all, don't get your knickers in a bunch here. I said the most important rock band. I didn't say the best rock band.
Can you give me some, I don't know, like a couple of bullet points on why that is true?
Because they are a band that fulfilled every band on any label anywhere, any band that writes music out there has to have this in the back of their head, to where Radiohead achieved what a lot of bands want to, where a lot of bands get pulled in by the record industry and they make the same freaking album over and over again. Radiohead did not do that. Radiohead, from this album on, was experimental. They did whatever the hell they wanted, and they basically became a force in rock music and took all their influences from the Beatles to Pink Floyd to Elvis Costello and all the REM, all the above. They were like the U2. I mean, they put it all in a blender, and they just made album after album after album. Some of them weren't, and to be honest with you, I mean, even their record label would tell you, even OK Computer was, you're committing commercial suicide by making these records, because you're making records that you want to make. And if the fans dig it, but their fans... And then they started out as a cult following band. Then they got bigger and bigger and bigger. but they did not conform to these record industry standards, like bands that have to, these bands that follow up with the same album over and over again, that follow the formula that is successful for them, but they never really, I think, get their niche, where Radiohead just does what they want, when they want, with the songs, and they can do experimental stuff. They can just do straight rockers. They can do poppy stuff, and they have no apologies about it. And this is them. And like I said,
when they turned this record in, Capitol Records, which was their who handled them in America, reduced their budget for marketing, thinking that like maybe they weren't even expecting to get.
Not even a million.
Yeah, right. They were thinking more 500,000.
Yeah.
For this. And like, this is one of those records that came at the right place at the right time with the right personnel, the right producer. Everything kind of came together and the world was just ready for. You got to realize at this point, Kurt Cobain's been dead a few years. Music is kind of like just kind of
we're just sort of
rolling on in the post grunge era. You know, Alanis Morissette is big, Stone Temple Pilots and Soundgarden, those bands, Pearl Jam, they're still putting out records. What these guys did was they did an experimental kind of record. When I listened, I don't want to say my thoughts on it just yet, but just to know that, yes, the record label was freaked out by it. However, it became huge.
Yeah, for sure.
Huge.
And this is not something that typically I probably would have given a second glance at.
And I need to get your perspective on this, because because Keith and Lily sometimes are on the opposite sides, especially when we say the K word. KISS word.
You had to spell it out because nobody knew what that meant.
So, but here is a thing that I didn't. I understand Keith is a kind of very. He's a musician. He's got his ear to the ground. He wants to hear different music. He recognizes stuff. And Lily, who's a like, yes, let's rock.
I'm
out.
A partier.
Why are you? Why do you like this record?
Okay, so this was. I didn't even know this record existed until, and I know this is horrible to say, my ex-husband made me listen to it. Now, he's made me listen to things that we all know that I've hated in the past.
Rush.
But when he had me listen to this and the first song came on, I'm like, all right, I can dig it. And then it just sort of sucked me in because it was so different. It wasn't grunge and it wasn't rock. It was something in between. And it just really, I thought it was genius. And I'm not typically into the whole artsy kind of stuff or even experimental stuff, but this one just sucked me in and held me there. The whole way through. I could listen to this album back to back with no issues. I don't have to skip any of the tracks. It's not party and it's not grunge to me. It's an in-between that was sort of, I guess, a nice change for me to listen to. Something new. And this would have been it.
Unusual sounds kind of all brought together. But I think that it was something I think the world was kind of waiting for and needed. And there is... When I heard this record, and I'm going to tell you guys something that's probably going to shock both of you.
I'm ready.
I listened to this record twice today, and I never knew one song on it.
Because it flows. Really? It flows.
I never knew. Wait a minute. That's not what I mean.
Oh, okay.
I never heard. When I listened to it, I'm like, I don't know any of these songs. Oh. I never heard any of these songs. What? I don't know this record. I knew about this record.
Oh.
But I did. I have never. I just didn't know it. I don't know if the X in Pittsburgh didn't play a lot of songs.
They probably only played one song.
I know that at the time when this came out, I was in the I listened to the Johnstown station a lot, and I don't know if they played a lot of this record either. So it was a period in my life where I just missed it. I knew that it was out there. I knew people loved it. And so this was today. I listened to it twice. It was my first time I listened to it. So I got my OK Computer cherry popped.
How was it for you
today? I have. Here's what I'm gonna say. I sort of like feel like if you two were like bad, really badass, like accomplished jazz guys and could do a progressive album, like, I kind of like think that this is what it might sound like.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got, it's indescribable. It's like, it's got so many things, and it, but it, none of it sounds slapped together.
Mm-mm.
And is based in insanes. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Keith. I haven't heard chord changes on in pop and rock songs like this since Steely Dan. I mean, there's
the song Paranoid Android alone should have, as a guitar player, I mean, just word of mouth of that song, like just how the song structure and the, just the brilliant chordings of that song are just, that should have just been in a, you read it in a guitar magazine by accident or something.
I'd heard the song Karma Police. Maybe.
Yeah, MTV played the crap out of that.
I think maybe I'd heard that one, but I'm not sure, because like today, the last 2 days I've been immersing myself in this, in Radiohead and this record. So I don't know if it's like, you know, kind of thing like where you listen to it so much, you think maybe you've heard it before.
Yeah.
But so let's get into the tracks.
Okay.
And let's go down the list track by track. Lily, you read off the track, give us the background. Keith will chime in and with his astute analyses.
Alrighty, so Airbag is the first track on the album. It's about a car crash that Tom York was in with his girlfriend in 1987. She got whiplash, he was fine, but he basically says this was about having a second chance. Now, at this time, or in 1987, he was terrified to be in cars. So he's influenced by that one particular event that happened in his life, and he writes about it continually in several songs, but this is one of the songs. He felt more alive than ever, and like he could do anything after that incident. And the song uses a drum loop created by Tom and Phil and was run through Johnny's pedal board. So I thought that was interesting because I didn't know that. Because I don't know anything about that stuff.
Yeah, so. Cool. So what are your, Keith?
The one little side note before we get into detailed analysis of the tracks, I guess we'll say, 80 to 90% of this album was recorded live. Like there's a lot of, it's a very dense album. There's a lot of like, layering and guitars, but that's like they don't dig overdubbing. Like there's a lot of shit going on these tracks, but like a lot of it, that meat and potatoes you hear of those tracks, the soul of those tracks are recorded live, which is kind of freaky.
So if you go see them live, because there is an album, OK Computer Live, where they do perform it live. I have not listened to that yet. So in other words, when they do perform it live, you're saying that you could expect it be pretty much sound the way it sounds.
I would think. I haven't heard it either, but I would like, okay. They would probably, I think they're one of those bands that there's probably not a lot of improvisation in those songs. It's probably they're written and that's the way you're going to play them. I mean, there might be things here and there, but I think that like I said, it's not a jazz project. It's still a rock band and you're not floating around. There's a lot of intricate things in their music that makes them what they are, but at the same time I think that stripped down it's still bass, drums and guitar, you know what I mean? It's not, and there's some, you know, there's keys and stuff going on, but it's just a lot of heavy layering, a lot of cool chords, a lot of drum loops, and but a lot of that stuff is just them just laying it down in a raw track, which is pretty cool because it's like at the end of the day, like I said, they're still a rock band that's just can play stripped on rock, and it's just a lot of layers to it, you know.
Well, they are playing to loops and stuff, and I and from being a musician myself and have been in bands where we tried to play to loops, it's easier said than done. You really got to know. It's actually really hard to do.
Yeah, that's definitely, you got to have
incorporate the live band with the loops and stuff like that is not. Yeah, that's takes some musicianship.
Yeah, you definitely gotta have an ear, and you gotta have obviously solid drum. A solid drummer helps, you know.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's definitely, somebody can keep time.
He got. I'm even from Airbag. They got the idea from which I didn't notice either. Reading around a little bit about the different tracks, they got the influence from Airbag, the drum loop in Airbag from DJ Shadow, who uses loops like crazy, like he just goes nuts with it, you know, and he takes drum loops to a whole new level, you know. So if he's listening to that kind of stuff, he's definitely honing in on some of the more intricate parts of, because man, in the right hand, programmed drum loops can be awesome. And then some of them sound like crap, you know. Well, but in this case, they're doing a good job.
Like Eric Clapton said, it's in the way that you use it. You know, they had their ear to the ground because it was 97.
Mm-hmm.
97, remember, guys, in 97, the Chemical Brothers were around. Moby was around. So this, you know, playing around with electronics, loops, odd sounds, bringing in crazy stuff like that was a thing. People were kind of, you know, there was an experimental spirit, I believe, going on at this time in music where people were like, wanted to hear new sounds. They were open to new things. If you listened to rock radio at the time, you could hear bands like Radiohead. You could also then hear a band sound completely different, like Soundgarden.
Right.
Sound nothing like them. You know, Beck was big at this time, and he did a whole thing with loops and everything. So this was they had their ear to the ground about like what was happening in music, and they did something amazingly original with it and surprising. Very cool. So Airbag, what's the next song?
Paranoid Android is the next one, and also the lead singer, art singer, single from the album. The lyrics were written by Tom York following an unpleasant experience in Los Angeles at a bar. It's over 6 minutes long. The first version of it actually was 14 minutes long and included a Hammond organ outro performed by Johnny. The name is again taken from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Marvin the Paranoid Android. And that's fitting since the whole album's name is from, you know, Hitchhiker's Guide. So, it's an ends off and on, one of the best songs of all time.
And Keith, I know Keith sends me this crazy, like in the middle of the night message last night on Facebook, Paranoid Android, he's like freaking out. So
it's a masterpiece song. I'm not going to hesitate. It's their Bohemian Rhapsody. It is a song that they probably labored over for about a long time. God knows how long it took them to structure that song. It's not that typical pop verse chorus. It's got crazy, like just little interludes. Great, the guitar parts are awesome. I think that makes the song. He has some very cool lyrics. They're kind of, you know, sarcastic. They're a little negative. They're a little this and that. It had a great video to go along with it. If you ever seen that, it's animated. Mm-hmm. It's really hip. But it truly is, and it's definitely one of their longer songs I ever wrote, probably. But it's And it's a masterpiece song. I don't know what else to say about it. It's an amazing song.
And there it is.
Paranoid Android. So what's the next track on the album? Then we're going to play a song.
Subterranean Homesick Alien.
Which is a riff on Subterranean Homesick Blues by Bob Dylan.
Yes. It's also based on one of Tom's very first essays he wrote in school. He was writing from the point of view of an alien from another planet, describing what he was seeing. And it was originally supposed to be called Uptight, which for obvious reasons, because they repeat that word over and over again in the song. And actually, I don't hate that song. That would probably be the one that I would expect to not like, but I like that.
Any comments on Subterranean Homesick Alien?
Yeah, the lyrical content is cool because, I mean, depending on the alien's looking, if he's looking then, he would probably have a different opinion of what he sees now. But, I mean, it's something you can kind of relate to if you just think a little bit about things and how that would be kind of brought into a song. So yeah, I think that it's definitely a cool track. I mean, is it one of the most standout tracks for me? No, but it's a good track. I mean, like I said, there's not too many bad songs on this record, if at all. It's just one of them songs that I think that, and it's not a filler. I think it's a strong thing.
I want to ask you guys a question, and I want you guys to think about it while we're playing the next song and come back with your opinions on it. Do you see this album as a sort of loose concept album? Don't answer. Think about it. Loose concept. Not like an exact, not like Tommy.
Right.
But a kind of loose concept album. We're going to talk about that when we come back. This is Bad Actress on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.
We'll be right back.
Motley Crue Jr. That's bad.
I was going to say, I'm going right back to the Sunset Strip in 86, man. I'm going right there.
Good old fashioned rock and roll. Bad actors.
That kind of music will stay around in some form with somebody always.
It's always going to be those bands, man. It just plays straight like
party rock.
Yeah, party rock. Shove it up your ass, rock and roll. Mm-hmm. I want to give a shout out to Bill Damiano, who is hanging out with us on the Inner Circle. You can go to lulombardirocks.com if you want a little more conversation, a little more interesting stuff going on. We are posting constantly in there. And if you are crazy about music and you want to, maybe you don't want to discover classic tracks you don't know about or haven't heard of for a long time, or you just want to have great discussions about music. You want to hear about new bands. Maybe you don't know. Small-time acts, indie acts, local acts. It's all there. Go to lulombardirocks.com and check it out. There's all kind of bonuses and stuff for going there. We get, you know, special downloads and all kind of fun stuff. So check it out, lulombardirocks.com. We are talking about the album OK Computer. And I posed the question to Keith and Lily before we played the last song to think about, do they kind of feel that this is a sort of maybe loose concept album? Because I know what I thought of when I heard it, and I'm going to say once you guys say your sort of piece on it.
I think it could be a loose concept album. A lot of the songs sort of go with each other, and I know the first song and the last song are about the same thing, so I think it could definitely work as one, maybe if they rearranged some things, but yeah.
Keith, what are your thoughts on it?
I mean, I think loosely would be the key word. I don't think every song is like, you know, it's not like Operation Mindcrime or The Wall or stuff. It's like completely just one. It sounds like one freaking run-on song at times with a concept album. This one has at least a lot of, all the songs have the personality. I think towards the end of the record, you start getting into some more slower to mid-tempo tunes. Maybe they have some kind of like, is there a reason all those slower, you know, tunes are towards the end of the album? Is it just because they're slower? I don't know. It's just one of the things where I don't think it's a straight up concept album. I don't think they ever considered it a concept album, but I don't know. It's, like I said, it could be loosely based on it, but I wouldn't say it's, I wouldn't be 100% behind that. I mean,
okay.
But.
Okay. Now I want to give you my impression as a person who listened to it for the first time.
Okay.
Today. What I hear is this is the kind of 90s version of Dark Side of the Moon.
Okay.
That's kind of was my impression was like, it's not like The Wall.
Right. Well, The Wall
or Tommy, where it like tells an exact story. Mm-hmm. You know, through song to song to song from the beginning to end. But I really felt like, okay, you know, this is kind of like Dark Side of the Moon for the post-grunge generation. I mean, I think it's that good. I'm giving it like that kind of compliment. Like, I think that it is really, I was like, I can't believe I missed this. The other thing I want to say, and I would put it, I'm going to maybe commit blasphemy here, but I would put it up there with Sgt. Pepper's in terms of like maybe several decades later, a sort of more modern band kind of doing a song. You know, the difference is a Sgt. Pepper's has a real pop sensibility to it. And while all the songs on this album are great, what I'm not hearing is I get by with a little help from my friends or those type of fun,
something extremely catchy, poppy,
you know,
stuff.
Snap your fingers to kind of thing. But there is definitely the Beatles in this, and there's also in places I hear Brian Wilson in places on this record.
I think you hear a lot of that. I mean, I don't hear. I mean, you can hear the Floyd. Yeah, you can. Maybe hear some Pink Floyd in it. I mean, if that's what you hear.
Mean that it sounds like Pink Floyd. When I said I compared it to the Dark Side of the Moon, I don't mean it sounds like Pink Floyd. I mean, just in the terms of it's that important.
The structure.
It's that important. And there is this experimentation and there is a loose, like a very loose kind of like idea. Like the songs flow so well that even though it isn't an exact story like The Wall, you kind of feel like you took a journey with the songs. Maybe
this takes you on a ride, man. I definitely would. I can hear the Floyd and some of the musical influence. I definitely hear more Beatles, in my opinion, because there is a pop sensibility to some of these songs we'll get into that you can't deny. I think that if you would ask Tom York or whoever, you would ask, you know, them, what is the equivalent of this? This is their Pet Sounds. They were going for that. This is a masterpiece record. The funny thing is, not to get ahead of ourselves, the funny thing is, if I was asked what my favorite Radiohead album is, it's not this one. This is a great album. I think Kid A is just as good or better than this. But that's saying something, because this is a really good album. It's
They're a great band. And I think that and I know that they never played Creep live. They all hate that song. They refuse to play
it
live.
They hate that song. Yeah, it's probably like Sweet.
But
I got to
tell you, man,
when I heard that,
I was like, these guys have something very cool. They have a very cool vibe. What's after Subterranean Homesick?
Exit Music for a Film.
Oh, yes.
Everybody probably knows this one, I'm sure. He originally wrote the song for the film Romeo and Juliet from 1996. This was after he watched a quick preview of the film. It does play over the credits at the end. However, the band didn't feel like releasing the new song as part of a soundtrack, so they saved it for OK Computer.
Wait a minute. So it's in the movie, but if you buy the soundtrack,
it's not on the soundtrack.
Ah!
The song is heard... in the song heard in the film is actually different from the finished version. The most notable difference, I guess, is the drums continue much longer. After the climax, the vocals were recorded outside.
Climax.
The vocals were recorded outside in the stone courtyard at the St. Catherine's.
I wanted to point out something that this something and you because you mentioned the castle again, and I just got to say this before we go to Keith.
Yeah.
What is it about great rock albums being recorded like in castles and stuff like that?
it's like a thing.
Led Zeppelin did it.
You ever been to a real castle?
Yes. I actually have. I've been to Europe, and I was at a few different ones. And
when I went to Scotland, I went into just a couple different castles, and it's pretty awesome, man.
Yeah, I can understand why you would do it, but I'm saying that like this album is recorded in a castle.
They got a thing, man. It's just a vibe.
Led Zeppelin 4, even like Deep Purple with the Grand Hotel. Right. Like, I mean, like, you know, they all went. The Stones,
Night at the Opera,
Everybody's got to go to a castle. At some point, that's what we're missing, Keith, in our careers. We need to go to a castle for about a month and record an album.
Yeah, man. Next time I go on my European tour, I'll just get right there. But like when I went to castle, I was in castles in Scotland. I was like, this is pretty dope, man. I mean, it's got a vibe to it, and I can see why people would want to do it. I mean, it's, you know, obviously there are a lot more.
There's more available
in Europe, but I mean, it's, you know.
any comments or thoughts on exit music for a film before we go to the next song?
It basically sounds like the exit music for a film. It sounds like, I mean, it sounds like what the title is. It sounds like the ending credit of a song, and it's perfectly written for that kind of vibe.
Absolutely. What are we up to?
We're up to Let Down, but I don't have notes on that for some reason, and I have no idea why. I do like the song. It is in my probably top six of all the songs on the album, but that's all I have to say about it.
I think that I can help you out with that.
Thank you, because I totally did not write notes for that song, and I have no idea why.
There is the New York Times, of all things, the old gray lady of journalism, has a, and it's probably, why are you not working? Okay, here it comes. Oh, server error.
Of course. That's
great. I'm in the middle of doing a podcast, and New York Times is like, "Screw you."
I'll help you out. This track is very Beatlesque, man. This is one of those tracks where I think that John Lennon would smile upon. You know, when Paul McCartney heard this album, when he heard that track, I'm sure he had a smile on his face, going, "Damn, these boys got where they get these ideas from." But yeah, but it's like it's not that blatant ripoff kind of vibe that Oasis did. It's still that. It's still Radiohead, but it's still their ability to capture pop and not go too far over the edge with some songs. Like they definitely do their share of, like, you know, experimental music, don't get me wrong, but every album seems to have that little pop gem on it.
Here's the thing I want to get across about this album, because I think a lot of people in our audience love heavy music. They love straight up your ass rock and roll and things like that. And they might be a little like shy about checking this out. This isn't just guys jerking off because they can. Everything on this record is purposeful. That's all makes sense. It's all really put together music. It's not just like, well, how weird can we be? How can we just randomly bring in? You know what I mean? We could tell when bands do that, right? Mm-hmm. Bands are reaching. They're just trying to bring in, oh, I don't know, let's put a hip hop DJ on it because, like, that'll be cool. Like, they're not doing that. Everything flows exactly.
It's very well
right.
thought out.
Yeah,
and I think the person you have to give a lot of credit to, other than the band, is Nigel Godrich, the dude that mixed this, that produced and mixed this album along with them. Just, he knows what he's doing. This stuff sounds amazing. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you know, just to get what you said, it's just where it flows so well, and it's so well produced, and everything just sounds so, even though there's a lot of loops and things just sound organic, and it just all has a nice flow to it.
Well,
I mean, and it's.
I'll just give you one sentence from the New York Times review of Let Down. It's quintessentially Britpop in sound, but with little of the coked out neoliberal triumphalism.
That is a great word. I need to use that word in my everyday life.
I mean, I don't even know what that sentence means, but it's just,
wow.
Check out the album, guys. If you haven't checked it out, if you're like me who just kind of missed it or whatever, you need to listen to it. What's the next song?
The next one is Karma Police.
And this is a song that was way more of a pop kind of structure, this, kind of verse, chorus kind of
these,
thing.
These two, yeah, definitely these two, Let Down and Karma Police, are definitely ones I think that give you that pop sensibility in the song. And obviously songs that could get radio airplay, you know, without it being too much for people to handle, I guess. It, some people don't have the attention span for it. But these two songs, and I think Karma Police, it had a interesting, once again, when music videos were being made, it had an interesting music video to go along with it. So
it is, and it's the second single that came out after Paranoid Android, of course. It was supposed to be about a joke. They would threaten to call the Karma Police if someone did something bad. So that's what that was all about.
This record was released in 1997.
Yes.
Some interesting facts. In 1997 was the year that Prince Diana died. It was the year that the NASA Pathfinder landed on Mars. And check this out, because I think this goes right with the title, OK Computer. Deep Blue, the computer, defeated Kasparov at chess. And this was a sort of moment in history where people said, computers are finally smarter than people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is insanely, like,
that's synchronistic. That.
That Radiohead releases this album that is so monumental. And the title just happens to be OK Computer. In pop culture, The Simpsons become the longest running primetime animated series of all time. Notorious B.I.G. is shot. The first book in the award-winning Harry Potter series is published, Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, but released in the U.S. as Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Here's some popular movies at the time, Keith. I know you love movies.
Here it is.
Titanic.
Yup.
Men in Black. As Good as It Gets. I just rewatched that recently.
You love that movie.
Liar, Liar. The Fifth Element. The Full Monty.
It's a good one.
The Rainmaker. Right. So those are some of the movies. And as well, popular musicians of the day, bands that were big at the time. Foo Fighters, who are still big, right?
Still big.
It's amazing. But Smashing Pumpkins, Mariah Carey, Lenny Kravitz, Celine Dion.
Oh, funny how we're on that list there.
Yes.
Crazy.
Aerosmith is on there. The Offspring. And of course, Radiohead, Garth Brooks. So just a sort of like, it's good to put these things, it's a Clinton administration. It's good to put these things kind of in perspective. The average price of gasoline in 1997 was not bad. It's about the same as it is, $2.70 a gallon.
Mm-hmm.
That's about, it's kind of like on a bad day in Pennsylvania. Yeah.
Holy hell, $1.75 here.
We're still there.
Oh, no, Pennsylvania. You know, Pennsylvania has all those.
Pennsylvania got them high ass taxes for everything. So I don't know, man.
Yeah. So
is this really $2.70 there?
No, it's
$2.30 ish now.
$2.49, depending on what day of the week.
Yeah.
Use your Giant Eagle card.
Yes. Do that.
Nobody other than Pittsburgh people will get that.
You know, when that they get that cheap gas prices, and the further in the south you get.
Yeah. Well, Ohio, you go across the border to Ohio.
Even New York, they're cheaper.
Oh, also, the civil jury finds O.J. Simpson guilty. The civil jury. So lots of stuff
happens. A lot of good that did him, huh?
So, yeah. So, you know, so it's interesting to put these records in the time and place. People are listening to Mariah Carey and The Offspring and Celine Dion and Daft Punk and Sneaker Pimps.
And this Spice Girls.
Remember the Spice Girls? Spice Girls were big at this time. So, you know,
unfortunately, yes.
So let's quickly run through the rest of these tracks here and kind of see if we can kind of wrap this bad boy down.
Next one on the list is Fitter, Happier. It's the spoken word track on the album, less than 2 minutes, about long commentary on life and how artificial it's become. Tom York said this was the most upsetting thing that he'd ever written.
It's I just was like, I get what they were doing.
Yeah.
But if there's a piece of on this record that's filler,
that would be it.
It's interesting. It's neat. I know they did it with the Apple computer. Mm. They did the voice thing with the Apple computer. So at the time, it was really,
that was a big deal.
It was like revolutionary. Mm. I get it. But just not something I'm, you know, going to listen to over and over. Keith, any comments on Fitter, Happier?
Nah.
Okay. Next song.
Electioneering is the next one. It says, this is the straightforward political song on the catalog. Represents the unrest against the neoliberal policies that plagued the globe in the late 1990s. That's what I wrote on that.
I think the song is a butt-kicking rock and roll tune. Like if
this is their this is their kick-ass song. This this song is heavy as hell for them, and it's got attitude. It's definitely it's up there for me as a track. It's a killer track.
Yeah, I mean it's just really vicious the way they perform it. Checking if
you Johnny Greenway gets some nasty tones out of his guitar, man. I don't know what is with these guys, man. I could just they're not virtuoso players, man. I mean, none of them are, but they would tell you that they just know how to get that. Yeah. Nasty sounds out of that guitar, man.
It's about having a great ear, man. You don't write this kind of music without really having a great ear.
That's another band. If you took one person out of that band, it would suck. Like, it would still be Radiohead, but if you took one component out of that band that they have now, they've always had the same members. You can't F with that, man. That's just something that...
Did we mention these guys as bands with most consistent members? Did this band...
Don't remember.
I think I did.
That's a check mark against your name on the blackboard.
I kind of feel like he did it, but I have to go back and listen because I don't remember.
I mean, that band's been together for, you know, when did the Pablo Honey come out? 93? And they still have, I've never heard them ever changing a member. If they did, then that's news to me.
What's next?
Next is Climbing Up the Walls, again, another song I missed. So if Keith wants to elaborate on that one, I don't know how I missed songs on here. I think I have the wrong notes. Obviously,
this one has that kind of like it's kind of cool guitar work in it. Once again, there's guitar work all over this album that's kick ass.
It's great, yeah.
And it's one of those ones you're starting to get, you know, to the middle towards the end of the album where a lot of the songs just have that kind of vibe to it. It's like a slower to middle tempo. A lot of it's very dynamic still, but I think that the tracks in the beginning of the album are just more exciting, if you will. And I think it's just, like I said, great guitar work, cool drum grooves. He always has cool lyrics. And sometimes I don't know what the hell he's talking about, but it's one of them songs that just, it's probably not, definitely not the best track on the album for me anyway, but it's one of them songs that it's there and it's cool. The guitar work's cool. I think that's the height of the song though.
On the to quote the old gray lady, on an album about alienation and isolation, this song goes farthest into dark solitude, creating a cinematic sense of doom.
There you go.
And the next track is No Surprises, which is a cool intro.
Just lullaby music for y'all want to go to sleep.
The music video features songwriter Tom York singing inside a diving helmet as it fills with water. It's the first song recorded in the sessions for OK Computer. York said the childlike guitar sound set the mood for the whole album and that the band was aiming for a mood similar to the 1966 Beach Boys album, Pet Sounds.
Hey, where'd they get that from?
Keith must have been, he must have been consulting producer on this.
Maybe.
No, I mean, you can definitely, they were just, that's just a very, if you had to use one word to describe this album, ambitious is the word. It's a very ambitious album. It could easily backfire on them. They could have been completely just obliterated their career. They just happened to be good enough at their craft to make people buy into what they're doing.
When I listened to this record, I said to myself, post-rock, this is like the next level where rock went after rock.
Yeah, that's a lot of things about timing too. Like, you know, remember when, you know, hair metal ruled the world and then Nirvana come along. It was just then after that, I kind of was phasing out and rock and roll was ready for something new. And every once in a while, you just need something to come and kick it in the ass. And this is what this did.
And it was at the right time when people still bought records, you know, the whole, you know, yes, the internet was around, but it wasn't, you know, where you could just download and go to YouTube and listen to any song you wanted to. It was at the right time. Maybe this was the last, we could maybe say this was the last truly, you know, amazing rock album. You know, maybe. Beauty is subjective, of course, but for Radiohead, there are moments. This is from the New York Times. Beauty is subjective, of course, but for Radiohead, there are moments here of hard-earned grace. Lucky is the next song. And what is this about? Something about Brian Eno with this song.
I don't have anything.
Brian Eno, he commissioned Lucky for a 95 charity album and said it was the most beautiful song he's heard for a long time. York, who's actually playing a plane crash survivor, begged to be pulled from the lake, sings as if he's lifting up into a mournful yet hopeful reverie.
Another song with great guitar layering on it, though. It has just like a lot of these songs just have really just cool chords, haunting at times and beautiful at the same time. And it's just a very, it's these songs are very artsy but awesome. I mean, they can get a little deep with the lyrics, but that there's always going to be that hook, whether it's the lyrical hook or a lot of these songs have guitar hooks too.
I want to, before we, we're going to talk, Tourist closes the album. Before we do that, I just want to say a couple things. First of all, shout out once again to Wolf's Customs. Go to wolfcustoms.online. Rock Rage Radio, thank you so much. If you are a musician and you are curious, I would highly recommend the YouTube video, Why I Love Radiohead by Rick Beato. Rick is a, multi award-winning producer. He is a musician's musician, composes classical music, is an amazing guitar player, has produced metal albums, just like the musician of musicians. And he has a great video called Why I Love Radiohead, where he really gets into the thick of their songs, the chord changes, and talks about really what they're doing musically and why they are so amazing. So if you're one of these guys who's like, oh, I don't know, man, like, you know, I'm still, you know, it's not Steve Vai or Yngwie or, you know, Led Zeppelin, I don't know. Like, check out that video, and I think you'll start to get some insight into what these guys are doing. The last song on the album is The Tourist. Guys, any questions, any comments on that?
Final track, it's about enjoying life. When a tourist visits a place, he usually feels like he has to do a lot, like rush everything in. It's about just relaxing and enjoying what you're seeing and to slow down. And it ends with the triangle chiming at the very end. And it also sort of talks about a crash like the first song. So I think it kind of comes full circle on there. And I really like the guitar solos, not to be kind of nerdy about that. But yeah.
This was composed by Johnny Greenwood as well. So, Keith, any thoughts on The Tourist before we wrap up?
Yeah, it's one of those songs I think does coincide with the first tune. So it's one of them things that just get... they intertwine, like a lot of the songs do in these loosely based concept albums. There is a lot of definite coincidence, and I think it's a good song. It's like I said, towards the end of the album, songs started to get a little slower, but I think this one has some nice dynamics to it and picks up a little bit in the middle. When it's definitely got again, I hate to keep beating the dead horse, but the guitar works beautiful, and it's, you know, it sounds great.
Okay, we're not going to rank the songs because we're running out of time. Lily, best favorite track on OK Computer?
Paranoid.
Paranoid Android. Not Paranoid by Black Sabbath.
Not Paranoid
Although
by Black Sabbath.
That would be
cool. That is a good song, too.
If there was like a hidden track where they covered Paranoid by Black Sabbath. But, okay, Keith, favorite track on OK Computer?
Paranoid Android.
Whoa, what? Dun, dun, oh my dun. God, Keith and Lily.
The black hole just opened up. We're all going to die.
I just think it's a masterpiece song. I would, like I said, sometimes when I'm getting moved by something, I'll share it with whoever. And then sometimes, I mean, I think there's, like I said, I don't want to, you know, we're not going to get in, we don't have time to rank them all, but I think Airbag is a great song. Let Down, Karma Police. These are all strong songs that could be great songs on anybody's album, but I think that Paranoid Android sets a tone for not only this album but for the rest of their albums to come. I think it was experimental to the point where it was still commercially acceptable, and even though it's a longer song, it's 6 minutes and it's almost 6.5 minutes long or whatever it is, it still has a nice hook, it has a nice groove to it. I think that they used that as a template for a lot of their experimental stuff later on.
And I really hope that Capitol heard a suck it from Radiohead when they sold their 7.8 million units worldwide on this album.
One, like, absolutely huge selling album.
Yeah.
And really, I mean, that's why these guys are playing, like, 10,000 seat, you know, 20,000 seat festivals and things like that, because, you know, what they were able to accomplish, they brought the goods. I want to compare Radiohead a little bit to some other bands that I think refused to be pigeonholed or wanted to constantly evolve. And I think, Keith, you'll agree with this. What I noticed to me about them is I noticed the Police. The Police was a band that refused to, like, they could have done Outlandish D'Amour 6 times in a row, but they evolved. Every record, they evolved. They were trying new things. They had their ear to the ground. They knew what was going on. I think Rush is a band like that. I think U2 is a band like that. They constantly were like, they kept on reaching, wanting to do something different, wanting to do something deeper. So I really freaking respect that about this band, is the fact that they just were like, nope, we aren't just going to keep doing the same thing over and over. Also, we mentioned Niall Godrich, who is the producer, and has also produced albums for Beck, Paul McCartney, U2, REM, Pavement, and Roger Waters. So, you know, this isn't a guy who just worked.
He knows his stuff.
With Radiohead. You know,
he knows his stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you can work with very diverse artists like that and kind of pull out what it is that they're trying to do. That's what a great producer does. Final thoughts, either guys. Any final thoughts? That was my sort of
No, love it. Think it's a great album. Usually I wouldn't say that about such an album, but it's awesome. Also, Chris Thunderwolf would like us to say hi to Tuck Shepherd, who's watching tonight.
Tuck! So.
And that's all I have on
the
it.
The Ludini Rock and Roll Circus salutes Tuck. And Keith, any final thoughts, brother?
I gotta say a big thanks to Bill Domiona, who had me on his PA rock show last night for his quick interview. We had a good time, some laughs. He asked me some tricky questions, and hopefully I gave good answers. We'll see.
He does that. He does those tricky questions.
He does. He's a sneaky dude, that Bill D. You gotta watch that guy. He's sneaky like that. Sneaky Bill, I'm gonna call him now.
Sneaky Bill. Shout out to Bill Domiona from me as well. Kevin O'Connor, who's watching us on YouTube. Guys, if you are perusing YouTube and you see this, please hit that like and subscribe button. We're getting onesies and twosies, building that up a little bit, but check it out. If you want to know where the real party is, go to lulumbartyrocks.com. There is all kind of goodies you can get through there, as well as our Facebook group where we are constantly sharing music and telling some dirty jokes,
to say the least.
We can't tell you here. You have to go to lulumbartyrocks.com to find out more about that. But yeah, it's a good time. All right, guys. Keith the Hawk Hawkins, who will be in Pittsburgh this coming weekend. Woo! Friday night, brother.
We're all gonna die,
and we're gonna talk about. We're gonna close.
I'll be around. I got the party. Got the plan going on. All right.
We're going to end the podcast now because we can't say on the air where we're going to be because everybody in the world will show up.
Yep.
So, but if you're in the inner circle, if you're part of my inner circle at lulumbartyrocks.com, you just might get some inside information on that. So check that out. Lily, when is your show?
Show's Thursday, Hot Licks with Lily 6, 6 p.m. Eastern, rockrageradio.com, or download the app on your phone, Rock Rage Radio.
Awesome. And Keith, you got anything coming up other than the trip to Pittsburgh? That's the big news, right?
That's the big news, man. I mean, I got a gig next weekend, but, you know, it's just the same place. That I was telling this to Bill last night, if it wasn't for Mississippi gigs, I wouldn't have no gigs at all.
My head's in Mississippi.
Legit.
All right, brother.
They just do it a different kind of way there, man. That one damn mass to be found.
That's all right, man. That's all right. We started the show with We Came From Space. We played a little Bad Actress. We are not going to get to Below 7 today. We're going to wrap up the show with Sold. We'll catch you guys all on the next Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.